Holy Spirit, I love you so much. God, I pray that this room would just be flooded with such a sense of peace right now. God, I pray that you would call awake every place in our hearts that has been numb in the area of dreaming and the future, and in areas of trust with you, God. God, in this moment, we acknowledge you as good. We acknowledge that we can rest in your goodness, Papa. All right. Amen. Cool. So tonight we're talking about dreams. Not necessarily. I'm not going to discount the night where you sleep dreams and you wake up and you had a grizzly bear eating a pizza in front of your mom.
What?
No. I've never had that, but I don't know, maybe someone else had it. But we're rather talking about dreams as in the desires and the visions that we've had for the future. That happened on Cool Monday?
Yeah.
Cool? Cool. So we're going to start off by talking about Abraham, or in this case, Abram. We're going to start in Genesis 12. Now, Abram, this random dude in the Bible at this point in time, God shows up to Abram and says in Genesis 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Abram, go out from your country, your relatives, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. Then I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will exemplify divine blessing. Now, that's a pretty big deal. Okay, what if God Almighty, God, showed up to you in a vision, and he said, I'm going to make a nation out of you. I'm going to make a country out of you. Everyone from here on in who is to be called Canadian came from you. That's like intense, okay? It's kind of big. How many of us, including myself, know that that's kind of big, okay? Yes? Thank you for the hand. Appreciate the hand. And then some stuff happens, and time goes by. And then in Genesis 13, verse 4, after Abram's nephew Lot has left the company, after Lot departed, the Lord said to Abram,
Again,
look from the place where you stand to the north, south, east, and west. I will give you all the land that you see, and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants like the dust of the earth, so that if anybody is able to count the dust of the earth, then your descendants also can be counted. So now, it's not just Abram has a lot of kids, but he has a lot of kids, and they're so numerous that no one can count them, and he gets all the land that he can see. This is pretty big. Okay? We're going to keep on going. And then, in Genesis 15, after some war stuff happens, just after some time passes, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield, and the one who will reward you in great abundance. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what will you give me, since I continue to be childless and my heir is Sarah? Now here's the thing. Abram, who is getting quite old at this point in time, has no kids. How is God going to make him into a nation if he has no kids? This is an interesting dilemma. Abram added, since you have not given me a descendant, then look, one born into my house will be my heir. But look, the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but instead a son who comes from your own body will be your heir. The Lord took him outside and said, gaze into the sky and count the stars. If you are able to count them, then he said to him, so will your descendants be. And this is the kicker right here. Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord considered his response of faith as proof of genuine loyalty. Now, I've heard that passage translated a bunch of different ways, but at the end of the day, it still means that Abram believed God for what he was saying. This is the third time now that God has shown up and been like, here's this wicked awesome promise that you could never ever see happen on your own, but I'm going to do it for you. And then on this third time, Abram's like, okay. And it says that that was proof of his loyalty to God. In other translations, it says that it was credited to him as righteousness. In other places, it says that because of that moment, that Abram is the father of everyone who believes God, including you and I. Right? When we believe that. How's everyone feeling? We're feeling good?
Yeah.
All right. Sweet. Okay. Then in the next chapter of Genesis 16, Abram's getting along in years, and his wife Sarai is not yet conceived. And this is not cool. So Abram figures, I have so many servants, including female servants, so I'm just going to make a child with one of them. And that will be the fulfillment of God's promise. Now, if you don't know the story, this is not a good thing. And like, Abram's wife gets really angry and like says, send her away. And all this strife has arisen from that day between the nation of Israel and between the Arab nations, which is kind of sad. But here's the thing, is that, oh man, I love this part. I'm sorry, I have to go there. I wasn't going to go here originally. Where's my next chapter, bud? Come on, where are we? Sorry, guys, for the delay. It will come. I swear it will. Well, while you're waiting for me to find this scripture, just close your eyes. Let Holy Spirit keep coming. Holy, keep coming. Right on. Alright. So it's 17. Genesis 17, verse 4. This is after God shows up to Abram. Sorry, we'll start at 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the sovereign God. Walk before me and be blameless. Then I will confirm my covenant between me and you, and I will give you a multitude of descendants. Abram bowed down with his face to the ground, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of a multitude of nations. Okay, so let's recap. Abram has this dream given to him by God Almighty, where God Almighty says, hey, I'm going to turn you into a nation. It's pretty sweet. And then Abram tries to do it in his own way. He's like, well, this thing with my wife isn't working out, so I'll just go this other route. So many times, I would assume in our lives, but in my life specifically, I would say that we've tried to do what God wants, but we feel like we've missed it. Now I want us to notice that in this moment, right after Abram does this thing, God shows up to him. Abram falls on the ground in fear. And God says, actually, I'm going to take what you just did, and I'm going to bless it anyway. I'm going to not just make you into a nation, I'm going to make you into many nations. This is the kind of God we serve. Okay, go to Hebrews 12. Who has their Bible? Who's been following? I appreciate that. Y'all bring your Bibles, right? I'm serious. So in Hebrews 12, we have this thing after Hebrews 11, which is starting with Noah and all these people going through Abraham's life, we have that these people believed in God, that they put their faith into God. And then at the end of Hebrews 11, we get to Hebrews 12, where it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, so many people who have believed God and it happened, okay, believe God and it happened, we must get rid of every weight and the sin that clings so easily and run with endurance the race set out for us, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. I'm going to say that a few more times, so two more times. For the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. For the joy that was set before Jesus, the place where he was looking to, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, casting aside everything that was associated with the darkness, because he knew that God was going to use it. Okay? Okay, I'm going to hand it over to Jordan Gruber. No? I'm sorry. Fine. So I'm not going to hand it over to Jordan Gruber. In my heart recently, I've been becoming depressed. Simply because there are so huge dreams. I know that sentence is awful, but you get what I'm saying, right? There are so huge dreams in my heart that aren't coming true right now. And it really makes me quite angry. Like, I've had some good yelling matches with God lately. With words that I wouldn't like to repeat here. And I'm like, what, really? Like, why do you put this thing in my heart? And then it's like been years now. I'm like, God, when is this happening? When is this happening? When is this happening? And to that, the Holy Spirit has come to me and wrapped his arms around me and confirmed to me again who he is. See, I don't know everything. Pardon for the water. I'm shaking. I don't know everything, and sometimes I act like it. But I know who he is. And more than that, he knows who I am. See, the reason why Abram could go and make Ishmael, and God would still say, you know what, even though you did that, that's okay. I'm going to take what you did and turn you into many nations. I'm going to actually change my original promise and make it bigger and better, brand shiny new. The reason why Abram could do that is because the moment before that, God had seen that he was being faithful, that he had faith in God, that Abram had faith in God, that he was loyal to him. And when we are loyal to God, we, in essence, through Jesus, we come into union with him. And so it's no longer, God, what do you want me to do? Come tell me how to do this thing, this dream that you've given to me. It's, God, how can we do this together? And when Abram's mind changes, God's mind changes. And when my mind changes, God's mind changes. And when God's mind changes, my mind changes. Because we're in sync like this. And so this is the joy that is set before us. Not that we have some list that we need to do for God, but that God himself has said, hey, I want you to have some fun. So I'm going to come and join you and do this with you. One more time now. It is not. This is point eight. This is fail. Okay? This is not how it is. God has given me a list, and I need to accomplish this list. that is garbage, that is thrown out, that is wrong. It is that God is doing something, and he has said, hey, would you like to come and do it with me? And you cannot fail. Not because there's a pass or fail and you're perfect already, but because there's no grid. There's no system anymore. God has already perfected your faith. Jesus Christ, the author, finisher, the one who started it, and the one who's in it, and the whole thing, and the one who will finish it.
So Andrew was talking about dreams and visions, right, and promises, and looking ahead. We're in the middle of a series on stewardship. So how does this all tie together? What's the importance of dreams and vision for stewardship? Really, for me, it all comes down to faithfulness, right? Let's just talk for a second about what stewarding actually is. Stewarding is when you're given something that does not belong to you to care for. Oh, wow, that was good fashion. Took a minute, but, you know, just let that settle in. Stewarding is being given something that's not yours to care for. Okay? So, and we're talking about this in this series in the context of things that have been given to us by God. And start to draw connections. Feel free to be like, loud about it as the revelation sets in. I like that. So, faithfulness. Alright, so if we've been given something that's not ours to care for, if you're going to give somebody something to care for, that's something that does belong to you, if you're going to give that to somebody else to care for, what characteristic are you going to look for in that person that's going to be caring for something of yours? Honesty, trust, integrity,
loyalty.
Wisdom, compassion, responsibility. So, what's really interesting is that with almost all of those words listed, if you look up a definition of faithful or faithfulness, you're going to find them there. You're going to find loyalty. You're going to find integrity, trustworthiness. Okay? All of those are characteristics of faithfulness. So, if God is asking us to be stewards of something, what is God really looking for? He's looking for faithfulness. If God was asking us to steward money, right? God is not looking for an enormous return on his investment of finances. Because he is the God of the universe who can speak worlds into existence just with the sound of his voice. So he doesn't really need money. What he's looking for is growing godly characteristics in us. And one of those is faithfulness. Okay, now, if you look up faithfulness in a dictionary, the definitions that you'll find will be essentially what you've already said. And there's a lot of sense of sort of repetition, right? And this kind of like being committed to something and just doing it over and over for the sake of commitment to this cause. And externally, a lot of times that can look boring. Right? Just doing something over and over, and it just like doing it kind of through thick and thin, through good circumstances and bad, and not really knowing why. Right? Just doing it over and over. Well, that's the external of faithfulness. That's often what we see of faithfulness. But when we look, if we look throughout Scripture, we know that God often, God doesn't really look at the outside so much. He looks at the inside, looks at the heart, looks at what's going on behind the action. Well, if we look at what's going on behind the word of faithfulness, let's just break it down. The word faithful is faith and full. Right?
Yes.
So the quality of faithfulness is being full of faith. It's not about being repetitive. It's about being full of faith. So if you're going to be faithful, that means you actually have to have faith for something.
Yes.
Right? It's going to be really, really hard to be faithful to something if you have no vision, no dreams, or no faith in where it's going. Right? Let's look at some examples. If you're going to the gym every day to work out, there's likely some faith that you're going to lose weight, get stronger, build your cardio, right? Something like that. And you have faith for that. If you've tried to lose weight before, you might know that often when you start working out, you'll end up putting on weight before you lose it. But if you have faith for what's coming down the road, you'll develop that faithfulness because you're just believing in it so strongly that you're going to stick with it. If you don't really have faith, if you've kind of given up on yourself already that you're not going to lose the weight, well, you're not going to have the faithfulness to keep going to the gym. If you've got a job where you're working really, really hard because you know that there's a position that's going to be opening up and you're a good candidate for it, you're going to have faith to do your job really, really well because you know that when time comes, they're going to see the job that you're doing. And so you're just naturally going to develop that characteristic because you have that faith already inside of you. You are full of faith. You are going to be faithful in your work. If you're in a job that you just don't care about and you don't see where it's going and you don't know why you're there, it's going to be really hard to show up to work on time. It's going to be really hard to put an effort in. It's going to be really hard to come back from break. If you've got a friendship where you maybe get into a fight with each other, right? You have the option of believing that things are going to get better and believing in the other person that you guys will be able to resolve things. And so you're going to be a faithful friend through that time and you're going to stick it out with them. You're going to still be friends with them. You're not going to start looking for a new circle of friends because something's gone wrong. Right, you have faith in that person. You have faith in what they're capable of, and you have faith in the friendship that you have. So you're going to have the characteristic of faithfulness, and you're going to stick it out. Okay. If we look at Galatians 5:22, we see the fruit of the Spirit, and one of those fruit is faithfulness. And so I know sometimes it's really, really hard for us to look at a characteristic, look at a fruit, and say, you know, I want that fruit. Because that fruit comes from a tree. And sometimes we want to get just that fruit, but we don't want to have a tree. Okay, and then, so I was just kind of praying about this, and what I really started to feel is like, the seed are the promises, right? Because who puts promises from God inside of us? That's Holy Spirit. So the seed is the promises, the vision, the dreams. The trunk of the tree is the relationship that we develop with Holy Spirit where we start to see those promises grow. Sometimes it's by Holy Spirit repeating the promise or strengthening the promise or just having it affirmed by people around us. And then from that tree, we start to get the fruit of faithfulness because we've got so much faith from that promise that's been planted and grown with Holy Spirit that that faith is just growing in our lives, right? That's how that fruit works. So let's flip to Matthew 25, verse 14. When God asks us to steward something, I told you, God's not so much looking for the return on his investment. God's looking to build characteristics in us because God loves us so much. God loves to partner with us, as Andrew was saying. He loves to partner with us and takes joy in doing that because that's a relationship thing. That's what God is looking for. So when he asks us to steward something, he's looking to grow faithfulness inside of us. He's looking for that characteristic. Okay, starting at verse 14. It says again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away." All right. Yeah, that's heavy. All right, so we see here an example of a steward, right? These 3 servants are all stewarding their master's money. They've all been given their master's money to take care of. Okay? And a really important thing that I like out of this is that they're each given according to what they're capable of. Okay, so they're not overwhelmed with something that they're not expected to actually be able to steward. It's important, so keep that in mind. So 2 of the stewards actually do something with what they're given. Right? We see this characteristic that they have faith. Right? Because it takes faith to invest, right? They have faith that the master is actually going to be pleased with their investment.
Yeah.
They have faith that the master is actually going to return to see the investment that they're making. And they have faith in the investment itself that it's actually going to yield fruit and that they're not going to lose what they're investing. Okay, so there's risk in what they put forth. But as faithful stewards, they have that faith to take that risk and go forward. Alright, so they took the risk and they invested what they've been given. And then we see that when the master returns, he pays them back for it. And there's gain on that, right? They're given so much more. And I love the heart of the master in this because he says, "Come, let's celebrate together." Right? It's about relationship. He's like, you've really shown me how much I mean to you by doing this. And he's just thrilled. He wants to celebrate. And on top of that, right, he gives them the investment. So like the master in this story isn't even so much concerned with the money either because he's just handing it off to his stewards again. Right? He's about relationship. Then we get the 3rd steward who's afraid.
Yep.
And so the 3rd steward's afraid, and because of his fear, he's not able to believe, he's not able to take that step of faith, and he does nothing. And then we see the result of, or the fruit of, his lack of labor. And so what little he has is taken away, because he's not even doing anything with it. So if we're looking then at ourselves as stewards, we need to start to recognize that God has given each and every one of us something to steward. For some it's a lot, for some it's a little, but God's given each and every one of us according to what we're capable of. Some of us are called to steward our specific talents, right? The skills that we've been given. We've been given those skills for a purpose, to take a step of faith, to take a risk and invest them for the one who gave them to us. For some of us, it's money. For some of us, it's time. But it all comes down to the dreams and visions that God's given us for that. Right? Because inside each and every one of us, whether we're living out of it right now or not, God has given us dreams and visions to steward.
Yep.
Right? For Abraham, it was being a great nation and then a multitude of nations. So, it's a pretty simple process, and sometimes we like to overcomplicate it. This whole thing about like stewarding, walking this relationship with Holy Spirit, and like actually following our dreams and vision. But really, I boiled it down to a two-step program. The first is that we recognize that we've been given something. It's going to be really, really hard to go somewhere with this something if you don't know that you actually have it. But I can safely stand up here and say to each and every one of you, whether I know you personally or not, that you have been given something by God to steward. And you know what's really cool? For some people in this room, those things that God's given you, those dreams and vision, are huge.
Huge.
Huge. They're bigger than what you even think you can do on your own. The same way that Abram didn't think he could father multitudes of nations in his 90s. But God has given people in this room visions that are that big. For some people, it's really, really specific. It might be smaller, but it's really, really specific vision. And we don't know the fruit of what our visions will bear. But guarantee each and every one of you in this room that God has given you dreams and visions to steward. So that's step one, recognizing that you have something to steward. Step two, invest it. That's where the faith comes in, that's where the risk comes in, and that's where the payment comes in. If you don't invest, you're not doing anything with it. And so we can be like that servant where we let our fear, because of the risk involved, we let our fear stop us from investing. But what does it really matter then? Because that servant ends up losing everything anyways because they don't do anything with it. And so if we're letting fear stop us from pursuing our dreams and vision, well, we've already lost. Like that's about as bad as it can get anyways. So there's not really a lot of risk anymore because you're not getting anything from it now. What do you have to lose if you actually invest it? And then the only other thing that can really stop us is if we just don't know what we've been given. A really simple solution to that is go to the Holy Spirit. And so, if it's as simple as that, we want to actually do that tonight. We want to go to the Holy Spirit and let's really press in. Let's let Holy Spirit plant that seed inside of us. It's, you know, for most of you, you've already been given that promise. You've already been given that dream or that vision. Some of you are on the road walking it out already. You are already investing in it, and I bless that, and we're just going to affirm that and grow that tonight. But some of us, you know what, we've gotten to that place where we're letting the fear of the risk stop us from taking it, stop us from investing. Or we're at that place where we don't even think we've been given something to steward. Maybe we never came into that revelation, or maybe we've just lost it because it's taking too long. Or it's not looking exactly like we thought it would look. But I guarantee you that God is faithful. And when God promises something, he doesn't take that promise away.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the enemy would throw at us, what people around us would say, that promise does not become invalid in our lives. God is a God of redemption. And so no matter where you're at in that place tonight, God is going to restore those dreams and those visions in your life. Amen. So why don't you just stand up and close your eyes and pray into it.
If your eyes are not closed, please close them. We're doing business with God right now. Holy Spirit, would you just come and wake up our hearts right now? God, I acknowledge that you are in this room, and I acknowledge that you are good. First thing is that we're going to pray about the dreams that we have been given for those to be reawoken. So I want you guys to say this after me. God, I acknowledge that you have given me dreams.
You have given me dreams.
That I did not make these up on my own. My imagination's not that good. And I really want to trust you. To bring these dreams to pass. God, where I've shut down my heart.
God, where I've shut down my heart.
In reference to my dreams. Now choose to let you wake them up. Some of you are getting revelation about your name right now. That when God had you born, that He called you something. He called me Andrew. He called me strong and manly, and I'm walking into that. And there are things written on your name that God has spoken over your life. So if that's you, just receive that, just take that in right now.
Receiving, just keep receiving right now. But I feel like there's a couple people in here who are just really struggling because they've tried so hard to pursue their dreams and just felt like they've fallen flat on their face. And they felt like they've fallen flat on their face, but more than one time. And right now, I just speak to that lie that says that you can no longer dream. Speak to that lie that says that your dream is not going to come true. And I just bind that up in Jesus' name. And I just declare over you that God is a God of faithfulness. That God is a perfect God. He does not have flaw. And He has promised you this for a reason. I bless those dreams inside of you to grow. I bless your heart to get excited. And I bless faith to just rise up inside of you.
Yes.
If you feel like that's you, I just want you to just, with your hand, just clench your fist as though you're holding on to all those broken dreams. And I want you to just open it up and release it in front of you. Now everybody's got their eyes closed in this room right now. Nobody knows that that's you, and it doesn't really matter because God knows, and you're just handing that over to Him right now.
The thing that happens when we cling to something from the past is that God can't give us something new. And in this moment, I really feel Holy Spirit saying, I make all things new. That this is a fresh start. That everything that has gone wrong, that He is promising to you right now, that that he is going to make that into good. I also feel that there are places in our hearts where we've looked at the dream and we've said that that's too big. That's too big. I must have thought that up. I must be wrong. And right now I cut that lie off of you. I say that that dream is God's size. That it's far too big for you, but it's just the right size for you and him. Say this after me. God, I trust you.
I trust you.
And I want to believe,
what
you have given to me
to
believe for. Open my eyes, God.
Open my eyes, God.
Open our eyes, God. I just saw this picture of like us standing in front of the door. And the door was locked and it was like a steel door. It didn't even have a handle. There's no way to get through this door. And I was expecting to see the door like open and a bunch of doors behind it open. But then I saw God pick up the door and pull it out of the way. And so Father, I join with you right now and I speak that there is no restriction on our dreams. Say this with me now. God, I choose to walk with you.
I choose to walk with you.
I acknowledge that I can do nothing without you.
I acknowledge that I can do nothing without you.
And I put my hand in your hand. I put my hand in your hand. Opened your eyes, and I'll just ask you to close them again. Holy Spirit, I bind any distraction in this room right now. Papa, I bless the dreams in our hearts. God, I stand with you and I say, we bless the dreams that are in our hearts. In the royal we all together bless our dreams.
I'm going to dream for daycare. I really, really care for children as they're at that such a crucial age of development to really show them what love means so they can be brought up in that. I hope people have this vision for major, major art projects, like feature films, like really intense documentaries, and just massive, massive projects that are going to take a lot of money and a lot of people and a lot of time. Bless that in you right now. Some people have business ideas, business ventures. Some have specific products. Somebody's got a vision for a skateboard shop. Some of you are getting specific issues like hunger, AIDS, abortion. Feel like you're gonna pioneer something in that. Or maybe you're just gonna join in with the movement that's going on to fight some of those things. Poverty as well. whatever it is that God's stirring up inside of you, we want to accept that and we want to move ahead. So Papa, we just make the choice right now. So you guys want to repeat after me, I choose right now to accept the dreams and vision that you've given me and to invest. Okay, now I want you to just think about that line again, to invest, to take the risk. If you believe that, I want you to take a step forward wherever you're at. Doesn't need to be a big step, you probably don't have room. To just take a step to just signify it. You know what? I am going to make this risk. I am going to invest this. Holy Spirit, I ask that you just flood this place right now with your overwhelming support, that you just send angels to partner with each and every person here in their dreams and their vision. I just call forth that dream, those dreams and vision to grow like the seed that they are, not to just go out of this place being seed, but to go out of this place being a plant that's actually growing, that's growing in relationship with you, that's growing into a massive, massive tree that's yielding massive amounts of fruit. I bless each and every vision and dream in this place, no matter how big or how small.
Yes, God!
I just once again declare the truth over each and every one of you that you have not been given something that you cannot handle. Which means whatever you've been given, you are capable of.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, just keep coming and solidifying that inside each and every one of us, because we know how that it is only in you that we can actually walk these dreams out. It is only in you that these dreams will come to pass. Father, we just surrender all of that to you. We say thank you. Thank you for what you've given us.
We will surrender.